Well, good morning again. As we have been invited into worship this morning, God invites us to come to Him, and now through the words of that song, we are inviting God to speak to us. And so something I forgot to do last week, but I know I definitely need it this morning, is the prayer that we often do, and we hear Pastor Steve give this prayer, and if you want to help me out with it, that would be great. May the Lord be with you. Thank you. Would you agree that sometimes the best lessons learned in life are not just by opening the pages of the Bible and maybe pulling out something, but maybe just through the experiences that God teaches us along the way? And sometimes it brings the words of the Bible to life when God takes those experiences and says, here's what I've been doing all along. I want to share with you this morning a little bit about the last couple of months for me. As many of you know, it's been a time of celebration in our family's life because a couple months ago we welcomed little Gary Nathaniel into the world, and it's been awesome. In fact, the last couple of days, Gary has been looking back at me and laughing and talking, and he's starting to say some things kind of like, which means I love you, Dad, since we're making translation here. But at the same time, the last couple of months, if I were to be really honest, has been, and for all of you parents, you could definitely understand this, has been a time of challenge as well. And for me and for Terry, we've had to overcome sleeplessness, sleep deprivation, those kinds of things. But at the same time, just spiritually, whenever, and it doesn't just have to happen with adding on to the family, I think with any major life event, would you agree that sometimes the things that we're used to become tried and tested. In fact, you have to change the way that you're used to doing things, and I think God has been speaking along the way of ways that I need to trust Him more. And so that is my introduction this morning, is that I'd like to share with you just simply some discoveries that I am making along the way about trusting in God, about remaining in Christ. And from the verses that we read this morning, is there a little bit of a buzz? All right, let me, how about now? Right, let's pray that the buzz doesn't come back. Okay, let's take a look at the passages that Andy read for us this morning, and hopefully these will be encouraging to you, and as we share this morning. Would it be helpful if I grab just a handheld mic? Not helpful? Okay, we'll keep going. Jeremiah 17, so if you've got your Bibles, Jeremiah chapter 17, let's look at these words again. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. They will be like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in the year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. I pulled these verses out, and if you look at the context of these verses, I know that God is speaking to an entire nation, but I think there is a principle here that we can pull out that I think applies even to our lives today, and that is the area of trust. Trusting in God, blessed is the man whose confidence is in Him. It might sound something like this in John chapter 15. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. God has been teaching me a little bit about not only these verses, but the principles from these verses. Sometimes I think when I preach or sometimes when I hear a sermon, I can say things that sound really spiritual and good, but then we have to ask, well, how does that apply to my life? Or how can I, you know, take that and, you know, use that this week? And so hopefully something this week you'll be able to take from this. And again, I have to say, rather than unpacking the scripture this morning, I'm just going to be sharing some discoveries that God has been teaching me along the way. I want to throw a word out to you, and that word is examination. Now tell me, what comes to mind right away when you hear the word examination? Tests? What else? Doctor. How many of you who are athletes or athletes, the dreaded physical? Don't need to say anymore, right? The dreaded physical. Examination doesn't bring up a very good feeling. It kind of gives me some anxiety, especially when I think about standardized testing and that sort of thing. Because examination, it searches what you know or what's there. We won't go any farther. But that word examination also applies to our spiritual lives. And I think sometimes when I think about when Jesus says, remain in me, abide in me, well, what does that look like? Maybe it has something to do with inviting Jesus to examine the branches of our lives, the ways that we trust God on a daily basis. So what are the ways that we express ourselves? What are some of those branches maybe that we could name? What are the ways that you just in general express yourself on a daily basis? Words is one, right? So the fact that I'm speaking right now is one way that I express maybe my trust in God through the things that I say. What else? Actions, yeah. And even though we can't see it, also our thoughts. Even though others can't see what's going on, that's also a way that we express, whether we're writing it down or something, but our thoughts as well. And so maybe we start there today. As I was reading that verse in Jeremiah, it says, "Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord." And it's almost as if God was asking me, "Do you want to be blessed?" Well, of course. So the very next thing, well, you have to trust me. You have to put your confidence in me. And how is my trust, my confidence expressed on a daily basis? Let's examine the branches of our lives this morning. How many of you have driven past our house and seen the plants that are there that haven't been watered in over a month? And they're just kind of dead. There might be a couple flowers left. I'm not a master gardener by any means, and so there's a lot of life application in these verses for me. But I think that kind of happens anytime we invite God to examine our lives. He looks at every area, the areas that are alive and the areas that are struggling, the areas that are dead. Let's go through those expressions. First of all, how we express our trust in our words. Now, words are a reflection of the heart. I'm going to throw out a couple of verses, so if you want to write these down just for reference, but Luke chapter 6, verses 44 through 46. And I like the New Living Translation. This is the words of Jesus where he says, "A tree is identified by its fruit. Figs are never gathered from thorn bushes, and grapes are not picked from bramble bushes. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what's in your heart." My best friend in high school, Matt, would always catch me when the words were not flowing correctly. And he would say, "Ben, out of the overflow of your heart, your mouth speaks." And he would keep me accountable. And I think that I still need that. If I had to choose an area, this hopefully is not too surprising to too many people, but this is an area where sometimes if I lose my temper or something like that, I need accountability, because God says, well, if I'm examining your life, what you are saying in every situation is somehow a reflection of your heart. And so it's a good reminder. The second expression, or the second branch, if you will, are thoughts. And thoughts reflect our mindset. Another scripture is Romans 12:2, which says, "Don't copy the behavior or the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think." Philippians 2:5, "In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ." So one of the branches that God examines are our thoughts, or our mindset. Another branch that God has been examining in my life and does on a regular basis is our actions. Our actions are a reflection not only of our heart, but of our character. So you get this picture of a tree sending down roots, and what we put in, or if you look at our plants at our house, what we don't put in reflects in what you see. And so our character is reflected by our actions. In 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul says, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." So to recap real quick, the way that we express our trust on a daily basis, our words, our thoughts, our actions. And in the last couple of months, this is where God has been working on me, tapping me on the shoulder. What usually happens when we allow God to examine everything in our lives? What usually happens is he shows us an area that he wants us to give back to him, or he shows us an area that he wants us to surrender to him, or to turn, we use this word repent. And in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15, if there's a verse the last couple months that I've just been sitting on, just staying with, it's Isaiah 30, 15. It says, "In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength." In repentance and rest is your salvation, and quietness and trust is your strength. When we talk about daily remaining close to God, do I want to be close to Him? For me, the first step is to find a place, any place, to rest and allow Him to examine my life. And if I want strength, if there are any here this morning who are just like, you know, I could use a dose of strength, or I could use God's strength in this situation, in quietness and in trust is your strength. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. He is like a tree who sends out its roots by the stream. Now, I said I was going to be practical, right? Not just all this spiritual stuff or throwing out some terms, God search my heart. I want to do my very best to think about how can we one day at a time, one expression at a time, learn how to not just let God examine, but surrender those branches, those areas of our lives. So let's look at words, first of all. If words are an overflow of the heart, perhaps a very practical thing that I can do daily is ask God, does my heart belong to You? Does every part of me belong to You? And is there something that doesn't quite belong to You? If we keep reading in the passage that Andy read for us, verses 9 and 10, Jeremiah goes on to say, the heart is deceitful above all things. Who can understand it? But then in verse 10, I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind. So how do we surrender our heart and our affections? I think the best way is to begin just by asking, God, examine my heart and my affections. In fact, asking the Holy Spirit, which is God's presence, to examine those areas of my life. Jesus said it the best. In John chapter 4, He says, when He was sitting by a well, Jesus said, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But everyone who drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water that I give to them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. So Jesus is painting a picture. And even better, in John chapter 7, verse 37, He says, let anyone who is thirsty come to Me and drink. Whoever believes in Me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. And get this. By this He meant the Spirit, whom those who had believed in Him were later to receive. Now, I said I was going to be practical. Okay, that sounds really good. Holy Spirit, come, you know, do that water thing and wash inside of me and fill me up. It's hard to describe when God works on your heart because you can't really see it. The best way that I can describe it is this. I could read 100 books on how to be a loving daddy, or I could look in the eyes of that little guy back there. I'm tearing up already. And I would try to tell you of a love that I can't express. And I think it's the same way when God works on our hearts. You can't really define it, but God is the one who convicts us, and He's also the one who conquers our affections. And when He does that, you know that it's happening, especially if you're saying, God, Holy Spirit, come and search my heart. And so that's the first branch. The second one, if we think about the ways we express our trust, is our thoughts. And I think an invitation here in Romans 12:2, it says, do not copy the behavior of the world, but be transformed in the way that you think. And it'd be real easy for me to say, well, here's the best way for you to transform the way that you think. And it's true. But to be very practical, I know that I need this in my life. Who are people in your life who give you wisdom? Who are people in your life that you look to for wisdom? Because in Proverbs 12, verse 15, it says, the man, actually let me find it because I don't know it by memory. The fool who does what is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. Who is one person I have in my life who gives me wisdom or that I can go to for wisdom? Now think of that person, or maybe you don't have someone yet. What is the difference between godly wisdom and worldly wisdom? Because there's a big difference. Worldly wisdom says, you're bugging me, I'm going to punch you in the face. Godly wisdom, I should probably not punch you in the face, number one. I should probably love you and pray for you, and it's hard, right? Maybe a good way to remember it is this. If it's easy or helps my ego, it's probably worldly wisdom. If it's hard but probably more helpful, it might be godly wisdom. And let me give you an example. James chapter 3 says in verse 16, "For where you have envy and selfishness," or selfish ambition, "you find disorder in every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere." Now, on that list, there's a lot of words there. Which ones sound easy or help my ego? Being jealous, that's pretty easy to do, or to be selfish. So if it's easy or helps my ego, it might be worldly wisdom. Do we have people in our lives that give us godly wisdom, that see through my ego and help me to know what's most helpful? And so maybe you can think of someone in your life or someone that you can invite to be that place of wisdom. And the last branch I want to look at this morning is our actions. And the best way that we can allow God to examine and then surrender our actions to God is right here again in Scripture. Would you agree that our character does not happen overnight, that our character grows with time? In other words, what we take in, again, imagine, some of you are going to be driving by our house after today, I know it. So you're going to be looking at those plants and be like, what goes in is what comes out. He didn't put anything in. Those are dead. What goes in is what comes out, and the same is true with our character. It reflects over time. And Jesus said it really well again. He says, "If you remain in me," from the scripture today, "and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you." In other words, if you're loving the things that I love, of course, when you ask, I'm going to do those things. He also said it another way, and I'm sensing a theme here. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And that's John 6:35. Have you ever prayed the Lord's Prayer, "Lord, give us today our daily bread"? I think it applies to literally God provide for our needs, but I think it also has something to do with, "Lord, fill me with your words so that I can eventually, over time, begin to put roots down and begin to reflect and look like you." Now, how many of you are like me? At some point in your life, you have said, "All right, that sounds great, wonderful, but the Bible was written to people hundreds of years ago or thousands of years ago, and it's intimidating, it's confusing, I don't even know where to start." How many of you have ever felt that way or asked that question? Because I know I've been there, right? I know that I need to be fed. I know that I'm hungry to know God more, but where do I even start? A couple of suggestions. How many of you think that the internet is a very useful thing? All right. It can be detrimental, but it can be very useful. One of my favorite websites is BibleGateway.com, because you can do a word search. Say, for example, God is examining the branches of your life and he zeroes in on anger. He says, I want to work on this anger. I can do a word search and type in anger, and then all of a sudden I have every verse of the Bible that has to do with not only when God was angry, but when other people were angry, what Jesus has to say about anger. So the internet is a beautiful thing. If we want to take what we are most hungry for, what we are most thirsty for, we can do a word search. That's one way. Another way is to just examine the life of Jesus. Start there. Are you hungry for God to examine your heart? Are you thirsty for God to change your mind and your thoughts? Are you longing to see Jesus reflected in your actions every day? Which area, which branch is God speaking to? And look at the life of Jesus and see if he doesn't somehow talk about that or live that out. I think when we go to the Bible, at least for me, it's as if going to God as an infant. We go to him with our desires. We go to him with, "God, this is what I need. God, can you fill me up?" And the great thing is, he does. He fills us up, and he gives us what we need if we keep going to him. The really cool thing is, as we begin to grow from being an infant, as we study the Bible, as we read his words, is that our questions begin to change. How many of you have noticed that when you read the Bible, it starts out with, "God, this is what my desires are. God, this is what I need." And then all of a sudden, one day it switches. "God, what do you desire? What are you like? What do you need for me to do?" And I said at the beginning of this morning that the last few months have been one of rejoicing and also one of challenge. If I listen to a sermon like this one, knowing my personality, I'm going to go home and start a Bible reading plan. All right, 365 days, I'm not going to miss one this time. The temptation for me is to take whatever God is challenging me in and to fix it, right? And I think the invitation of Jesus to us is just a little bit different. About a month ago now, we went on a backpacking trip, and some of you got to hear from our students last week a little bit about that. And we did this thing called imagination prayer. And in the imagination prayer, some of you have experienced where you simply go to a place in your mind, nothing magical about this, but just simply imagine a place that is either significant in your life or beautiful, and then imagine that Jesus comes into that place with you and has conversation with you. And we did this as our devotional time on the backpacking trip. I wanted to share with you what Jesus invited me into after 2 months of rejoicing but feeling a little bit dry. And so I'm going to pull out my journal here. Maybe this will speak to some today. So while we were praying, this is what I wrote down afterwards. I said, I saw a vision today that was very encouraging. Maybe it was just my imagination, but it's the most that I've been in tune with my own heart for a while. I picture myself and Terry and our little Gary, with him sitting in his stroller by, oh, poor guy. Love you, buddy. Imagine Terry and myself and little Gary sitting in a stroller by the foot of the Forsyth Fountain in Savannah, Georgia. Has anyone ever been to the Forsyth Fountain, Savannah? Beautiful place. So imagine a grand fountain. Gary is sitting and smiling and laughing, and we can hear and feel the water gushing from the fountain, spraying us even just a little. We can see the flowers and moss trees and feel the breeze gently as I do today. And behind us walks a stranger who approaches in blue jeans and a collared shirt. So I kind of imagine like a plaid collared shirt. I can't see his face, but I know and feel safe and peaceful. He looks in the stroller at Gary, and he smiles, saying, he looks just like his daddy. Then he looks at Terry and me and says, and you both do too. May I sit? And instantly I know his voice because I've heard it before, the voice of Jesus. Now the rest is kind of quick but very clear. Jesus says, let me tell you again about my kingdom. It is much like this fountain that you both love so much. You think about it all the time, and you always want and long to come back to it and remain here. The waters of my kingdom are that way. They are always full. Always. And they never run dry. And so are those who belong to me, who look like my Father. I know that life goes in seasons, and the purpose of this sermon is not for anyone to feel sorry for Dad who doesn't get sleep. The purpose of this sermon is simply to share with you some discoveries that I've made along the way that God desires not for us to go and fix ourselves, but so that he can pour into our lives and fill us up where we need it most. And I didn't get to write it down because we ran out of time, but the vision continued, or the imagination continued, where I looked around, and for some reason I hadn't noticed before, there were hundreds of buckets around the fountain, and each of them was a little puddle, and I had this vision of me trying to put these little droplets into the fountain, and Jesus was just like, you know, you keep trying to fill my fountain, and all this time I've been wanting to fill yours. And so, if I had to sum it all up, what God has been teaching me the last couple of months about daily remaining in him is that a lot of times refreshment comes only after we allow ourselves to be examined by the Holy Spirit. And growth always, always, always comes in some way when we trust Him or we surrender something to Him. God's been teaching me that. Again, if you trust me, blessed is the man who trusts in me. He is like a stream, a tree that puts out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It does not worry in a season of drought. That's where I want to be. And maybe for some of us this morning, even as we've been singing, even as we've been listening, that's where you want to be as well. God, here is how I've been trying to please you or to fill your fountain, and all this time, you want to examine me and fill me. And so maybe there's something that God is pointing at even now in our lives. I know that He often does, but it's always with love, and it's always an invitation to trust Him. And so that's my invitation this morning, is if there's anything that you've heard that helps you to daily remain, maybe it starts here. So I'm going to invite our worship team to come. And they're going to sing a song. I don't think the words are going to be on the screen, but that's okay. If they are, you can sing along. If not, hear the words of this song and spend some time again this morning in conversation with God. Is there an area that you want to invite Him to examine, either in our hearts, our minds, or in our actions? And is there a place that this week you want to surrender? Would you lead us?